Together, our opening hymn tonight, Bring the Wandering Ones to Jesus. In our hymn book, it's the hymn 669. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the lambs who have gone astray far from the shepherd's fold away. And then this great theme, bring them in from the fields of sin, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. I want to bid you welcome tonight in the Saviour's name. As you know, there was a wedding took place this week, and there's still quite a few people away there. And there's some people on holiday, but it's good to see you, and we welcome you in the Lord's name. We're going to stand to sing this lovely hymn. Singing about the wandering ones, there's a few wandering ones over here. You didn't get the memo at the start to keep everyone central in the middle because of the midweek. And if you feel led, it would be just lovely to see you move over and join the rest and not be the wandering lambs tonight. It's good that the clerk of session sets a good example, and there he goes with haste. We'll bow together, seek the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father, it's always a joy to come to the house of God, a place that we love to be. It's always a joy to come to the throne of grace where we are accepted in Christ, where there's always a welcome for the people of God, where we enjoy sweet fellowship with the God of glory. And we do so because we have a representative, a mediator in glory. We thank you tonight for the man, Christ Jesus. We thank you for the blood that was shed for the remission of our sin. And that blood brings us near to God. Christ himself entered the holy place with his own blood. And Lord, we know that it is through the blood of Christ that we come to thee. And we come into the most holy. Lord, accept us now through the Saviour. Pardon our sins, we pray. Wash us afresh in the blood of Christ. Prepare the mind and the heart for such a time as this. It's a meeting time with God, principally so. And though we enjoy the fellowship of the people of God and we are assembled together as, Lord, you've commanded us to come together like this, yet we know that first and foremost that fellowship that we enjoy is with the God of glory, with our blessed Saviour who comes to abide with his people when we meet in his name. Pour out the Spirit of God. We recognise, Lord, without thee we can do nothing. And we need the gracious power of the Spirit tonight for this meeting. We will, in the grace of God tonight, report on the trip to Romania. Thank thee for such a time, opportunities given to us to revisit this land, even after COVID days when so much was hampered by way of travel. But Lord, you opened the door again, and a team was brought together, and they went, and they did what was needed to be done. Thank you, Lord, for the way they worked together, prayed together, served together. Thank you for not just the activities and keeping everyone safe in the travels, but most of all for the opportunity to share the gospel and to preach Christ in all the meetings that were held, whether they were church meetings or with the children in the vocational Bible schools. O Lord, we rejoice in the power of your word, that seed that is sown into the heart. We know that it will be fruitful. There's never a time but the word of God prospers in the hearts of those who hear. You promise in your word that it will not return unto thee void. And so we do pray that it will accomplish much for your glory. We pray that we'll even hear of fruit born, of that seed coming to fruition and bringing forth souls unto Christ. You're able to do these things. We pray for each one who takes part tonight. We thank you especially for our young people, their desire to serve the Lord, their willingness to give up time in the summer, to go to a foreign country and to do these things. And we pray that your blessing will be upon them, that you will encourage them in the Lord, both those that are sitting in the meeting, those that can't be here tonight for various reasons, and those that will take part. Make this a good meeting when the presence of the Lord is known. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to welcome you to the meeting tonight in the Lord's great name. And those that are joining us on the internet, we bid you a warm word of welcome also. Do remember the Lord's day begins with the prayer meeting. We come to pray, we rise early, we seek the Lord together at the early-ish time of 8 o'clock. The worship service, 12 noon, we're in our study in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel meeting at 7, preceded by the half hour of prayer. So these are just the announcements that we need to make at this stage. I want to read a passage of Scripture from Matthew 18. Much of what will be reported on this evening is to do with children. And when we go to Romania, we are working with many, many children in the vocational Bible schools that are set up, whether it's with the Deborah House girls or with the children of the Roma community or the church children. And this passage of Scripture has much to teach us about children. And so before we sing the next hymn and have the reports, let's read the opening 14 verses. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offences, for it must needs be that offences come, But woe to that man by whom the offence cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I want you to keep that in mind as we listen to the reports in a moment or two. But let's sing 682. Hark the voice of Jesus crying, who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? May you be brought to the place where you will give a response to the Lord. Here am I. Send me. Send me. said that we would report tonight on the outreach work that was done in Romania. So this is the team, very first morning after arrival. And we did send out a little correspondence to the WhatsApp group just to say we're looking for volunteers. It's always better to have a volunteer than a conscript to report on certain aspects of the outreach. And we're very glad that four of our young people stepped up to the mark, came forward to say that I will do, here am I, Lord, send me, use me, I'll do the speaking. So I'm going to ask those four young people if you come up to the pulpit just now so that you're here and you don't have to walk individually up. So just come up together. I hope you're all here. Two young men, two young ladies. It is required to wear this. I think you've been instructed in the ways of the Medes and Persians. So especially the girls, I'm told, because I know you're a little bit shy and timid, and so I'll leave that with you. You see, you're up first. Off we went to a place where we like to visit and where we've done many vocational Bible schools, and that's Moldovanoa, situated on the banks of the River Danube. Unfortunately, we didn't get to spend several days there like we normally do, but it was one long afternoon, and Chrissy is going to report on this visit to Moldovanoa. So Chrissy, come hither. And after Chrissy, we have Keziah, so you can swap over the mic.
Thank you. Sorry. Good evening. So as the Reverend Park has mentioned, he asked a few of us just to give a brief report on the different aspects of our journey. So the first morning, the first day after we left here on the 24th of June, which is a Friday, and arrived, well, let's just say a wee bit later than what was planned in Romania, but I think the Reverend Park will maybe touch on that later. So Saturday the 25th, we made our way to Moldovanoa, which is a small town that's just on the banks of the River Danube, which is just on the border of Serbia. So we set off around 10:30 on the Saturday morning. We loaded into the two minibuses, which were drove with our responsible Reverend Park and Wesley McCauley, although I think Wesley had a couple of passenger drivers with him, if you already asked Helen and Deborah. But anyway, we set off on our journey, and after a quick stop for some lunch at the famous Lidl, we made our way into Moldovanoa and into the Gypsy community. Now, being there previously, I sort of had half expectations what to expect, but just to see the kids running up to the door of the buses as soon as you arrive, with smiles of, you know, excitement, just to see what you had brought them, or, you know, just to spend time with them. It's truly something that melts your heart, to be honest with you. I remember Ben Galt said to me as soon as we arrived, he says, you know, I've never met these kids, and they're coming up to me and wanting me to lift them and, you know, play with them. There's no fear in them, sort of thing, and it really does. It hits you hard. These kids just wanting some sort of affection and love. But as soon as we arrived, we sort of spent the next 5 to 10 minutes just playing about with the kids before we started the venture into the Roma homes. Now this is the part that always hits me hard. I know personally when you're walking into the homes that, you know, these people are calling these their full houses, and they're maybe no bigger than your living room. And one of them, you know, sleeping up to a mother and father along with 17 children. You know, and walking in and flies, everything, just as really as it hurts you to see, put it that way. The Reverend Park provided a book to this woman, as she had a book full of photographs, as she had mentioned that one of her children had sadly passed away since the last time we had been there. But the Lord has blessed since the last time we were there and has brought some of these people to the Lord. And we just pray that, you know, even more would come to Him through this. So as I said, we went into the different homes. These people, nothing to hide, will invite you into their home, no problem. They're always very willing and always very generous when we arrive. So after this here, we decided just to have a wee time of sort of sports with the children. We brought bats, balls, there was duck goose, there was everything. But soon after, as you can see, well, I don't have a photo that's still up, we're wearing red t-shirts, but put it like I say, most of us were redder than them t-shirts about 5 minutes under the running. But whilst we were doing this, myself, Aaron Gull, the Reverend Park, Mrs. Park, and I think it was Gratzy, headed off to Little to buy some groceries just for the people there. Now, we were short in time, as the Reverend Park mentioned to us 3 or 4 times before we walked in, so it was like a real episode of supermarket sweep with me and Aaron running right around the run round the aisles, nearly crashing into each other. But it was time of fun, to be honest with you. And taking them back, just even such things as, you know, bread, nappies, pasta, rice, things that we take for granted, and the smile it brought to these people's faces, it was truly incredible. We had then at this point booked to go to a restaurant called Park's Place. I don't know why the Reverend Park likes that as much, but you can ask him that there. And we decided to take the children with us. When we were getting ready to go, I looked over and seen some of the children outside with the outside tap, getting washed up and putting their best clothes on, which, I don't know, it hit me a lot harder than what I thought. I just had the wee moment to myself. They were taking a wash, you know. This was a big night out for them. It was something that we were just taking for granted. When we arrived at Park's Place, we had to do a couple of different runs, maybe overloading a time or two, but sure, the authorities never caught us. And we decided, obviously, Park's Place, it was a pizza restaurant, but pizza toppings might not just be the same as they are here, with, I believe it was salad and chips being one of the pizza toppings, but I suppose when you're hungry, you're not going to hang handy. But no, the children loved it. They see their joy in their faces when the pizzas were set down, and I drank a Coca-Cola set in front of them was truly amazing. It was at this point then in our journey that, as well as, you know, bringing our Northern Ireland spirit over, we seemed to bring the Northern Ireland weather over with us as well, as we all got alert on our phones to say that there was a very, I can't remember the word that it put on it, but it was a very heavy thunderstorm was coming in. So to be quite honest, that it was raining cats and dogs, to be honest with you. But the children loved running out and playing this here. To be fair, some of us enjoyed standing in it too. They got a cooling off. But after this here, we returned home where we planned to have a short meeting outside with the children and with families. But because of the weather, obviously, we couldn't. So we just had a short meeting in one of the homes where the Reverend Park just brought a very, very quick and brief word before heading our way back up to Timișoara that evening. There was a few sleepy heads on the way home, but when you're in a bus full of boys, I think you were very brave to even try to sleep. I remember Deborah saying that there was a word, was it sulfur, was used? I don't know what that means, but you can guess. But I would just ask if you would pray for the people there. Each and every one of them need the Lord, just the way we do here. They're generous, they're kind. One child in particular was extremely kind in the way that they mentioned, when they heard it was Reverend Park's birthday, they thought he was turning something in his 30s or 40s, so it just really shows the generosity of these children when they're saying he's that age. But no, they all need the Lord just like we do. I would just pray that even the work would live on and that souls would be brought to Christ. Amen.
So part of our time in Romania was spent with the Deborah House girls doing a vocational Bible school, which I can safely say was such a treasured time for all of the team and was definitely one of my favourite parts, although I could probably say that about everything that we did. It was a bit of a strange experience being there because I remember years ago the Deborah House girls came over here And I don't remember much because I was quite young, but I remember going to the Giant's Causeway, I think it was, with them. And I just remember how lovely they were. I remember one girl in particular, like her face this day. I just remember always since then, I just always wanted to go and visit them myself. And the girls that I remember meeting whenever I was younger were just as lovely as the girls we met in Romania a couple of weeks ago. So on our first Monday, we headed up to the girls and were given a warm welcome before we sang a few choruses to kind of break the ice and see what they remembered from before. And then we went outside to start playing some sports and games with them. There was volleyball, football. They also loved skipping and some of the other games that we brought from home. This time gave us the opportunity to get to know the children a lot better. And even with very limited language on both sides, it was kind of easy enough to communicate with them, but Lucci and Ellie translating definitely came in very handy. Some of the girls loved trying to teach us Romanian, except I was talking to Ellie after about it and kind of talking about the couple of words that they were teaching me, and she just said, well, I don't know what Romanian they were telling you, but it's definitely not right. So I don't know really how much to trust, but it was definitely very fun to try and speak to the wee girls and be taught a bit of their language, especially Te iubesc, which means I love you, and that was said quite a few times throughout the couple of days that we spent with them. Throughout the day, each of us bonded with so many of the different girls and connected with them in different ways, which was so special, the wee friendships that you made with them in such a short time. After that, we played a big football match, which was Romania versus Northern Ireland, and I can't really remember who won. I just remember some of us on the team were just, you know, making a fool of ourselves on the football pitch. But after that, we went inside to cool down, had some water and fruit, because it's getting very warm outside, as you can imagine. And we baked some 15s, which the girls really enjoyed. And after this was the most important part, where we got to share the gospel with them. We began each VBS by singing some choruses, mostly in English, apart from This Is The Day, where we sang in English and then Romanian and then both together as a wee bit of a competition, which the girls always won. Then a couple of the team gave short testimonies, and on the Monday, Deborah brought a wee talk on Esther. We also had food, pizza I think it was, but I can't remember when that was throughout the day, but yeah, we got fed. And then we headed back to the hotel. The next day, the girls had a wee treat where they came to our hotel and spent the day in the swimming pool, which they seemed to really enjoy. And it was nice in the heat to kind of relax for a day. They were with us from around 11 till 4, but I don't know how much energy they had because they were swimming and jumping for the majority of the day, which most of the team could not really keep up with. But then we ended the day with a walk to McDonald's and had dinner with them, which was very nice. The Wednesday was quite like the Monday, just spending more time with them, playing sports. We also made wee bracelets, which I still have. Don't know how I haven't broken yet, but yeah. And then we made wee cornflake buns before having some takeaway KFC for lunch. And then our meeting, which had the same layout as Monday. And Wesley spoke on Hebrews 2, verses 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Explaining to the girls why the salvation that Jesus offers is so wonderful, which was the aim of our entire trip with all of the children that we met. On the Wednesday, they also surprised Mr. Park with a big birthday cake, the first of many, as I'm sure you heard about. We did quite a few birthday parties whenever we were away. But yeah, then we headed back to the hotel again, and it was such a hard goodbye. Like, the days we spent with the girls were such a blessing, and I did not want to leave, and I know a lot of the team were the same. Some of us got a wee bit emotional, and the girls had to tell us to stop crying, but it didn't really work. But yeah, I absolutely cannot wait to go back, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity to go, and I would recommend it to anyone. And yeah, last thing I'd just like to say is just continue to pray for the 23 girls in the Deborah House and all of their needs. They all have different needs themselves, but especially their spiritual need, that all of them will come to know the Lord as their Saviour. Thank you.
Thank you, Chrissy, and thank you very much to Keziah for those reports. It's always nice when you come to the end of a trip like that, the young people don't want to go home. They want to stay. And I think that was true for them all. They had a thoroughly enjoyable time. It's always good to learn Romanian from Romanians, because if the young people from Northern Ireland teach you, they could be teaching you something that maybe you shouldn't be saying. And I'm thinking of when Alex came those years ago, our young people were teaching him a phrase which I think he thought was a greeting. You know, how are you? And he went up to Lorena, the director of the Deborah House, and he said this greeting, and her husband was standing there, and he said, "I have a gun," you see. So what he actually said in Romanian was, "Kiss me quick." And that's what our young people were teaching him as a greeting. So you're better learning it from the locals and not from the team. Very glad to have Kerry. And we're going to ask Kerry to bring her report. She has a few slides that she's going to share. And immediately after that, Samuel is going to report for us.
So straight after working with the Deborah House girls that Wednesday, we made the trip down to Elish, which was a 3-hour trip down to Elish. So we conducted a VBS on the Thursday and the Friday with the Roma community from 10 to 2. At this time, this is when the weather is at its warmest, and we even got worried as we got weather warnings to say the heat was incredibly warm, and that we should try to stay inside and not go out. But this would be very hard, as we were going to do a VBS, and we'd be running around. However, as God was with us the whole trip, he was with us that day, and as we turned up the complex, it was a big sports hall, as you can see. So this time I wasn't just excited to see the two football goals, I was also excited to be inside instead of running around outside. So the children loved playing games and doing sports in the hall made it a lot easier. We played football, rounders, duck duck goose, what time is it, Mr. Rolf, and skipping, which is one of their favourites. And then on the Friday, as you can see bottom left, we made an obstacle course, and they really enjoyed that. They also loved singing. We, even with the language bar, they sang better than some of us at times. We sang Deep and Wide, I May Never March, which they loved, and This Is the Day, which, as Keziah said, got very, very competitive. Each day, we studied the John Gospels and covered some of the I Am's. So I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, and I am the vine. Rebecca and Aaron taught the children one of the I Am's each day, and Ben and Wesley brought a message. And on the Friday, the parents came to the meeting. As you can see here on the left, Faruna had a wee book here. And on the left, there's devotions for each of the lessons. And then on the right, they have a page they can colour in. And then there's prizes given out for the best. Here are just some of the children here. The middle one is Faruna's sister, Abby. And them two would always just run up to me and Keziah, who they were very fond of, and just point up into the air, and they would just want to be thrown up, up and down. And you can see it brought so much joy into their face and to mine. After the Friday, we went back home, went back to the hotel, before we went to the grocery store and got the groceries. You can see in the middle photo, we packed 20 bags for the families. Some families got 2, depending on how big they were, and some got 1. We were also told that only some of us were needed if if we wanted to go, or we could stay back in the hotel because the temperatures were increasing before the VBS that night. However, everyone came. They wanted to see this experience and to see the children that we'd just been working with in their homes and their families. And we walked around, and as you can see on the left, they were walking around in bare feet, very little food, very little clothes, but they still had a smile on their face and they weren't complaining about the heat. And the wee baby on the right, he was just a month old, so he was. Just please keep these children in your prayers, and the work that we have done will continue to work in the children and in the parents. And also pray for Sabine as he goes out to these children and to their families, and for Emma for the school. Thank you.
So I'm just going to speak quickly on our evenings in Alesh. So our evenings in Alesh was with Pastor Sabine at his church, so it was, and that was working with the children out of his church. So our first night was the Thursday night with him. We started straight away with some of the kids' favourite courses and some of our courses that we would sing back home. So after our courses, we had three other aspects to the evening. We had crafts, and we had games, and we had our stories. So on the Thursday evening, it started with two stories, one from Ben, and Ben spoke to the children on the Good Shepherd, and Wesley spoke to them on the Sinful Woman. So then, going into our craft on the Thursday evening, it involved making sheep using paper plates. So our story was obviously about the Good Shepherd, so the kids had to use paper plates, cotton wool, and etc. to make sheep. And then on the Thursday evening, we had some big, massive beach balls that with us on the trip, so we had one of them blown up expertly by Wesley McCauley every time. So we gave the kids one of these, and the kids just threw it up in the air and chased it, and it was just amazing to see the smile that something so simple brought to their faces. So then moving on to the Friday night. On the Friday night, we continued with our songs and taught a few more new ones at the same time. On the Friday night, Aaron spoke to them about the true vine, and Rebecca spoke to them on the blind man. So then our craft on the Friday night, didn't relate to either of our stories, but it did have a different spiritual meaning. And on our Friday night, we decorated biscuits. So on the Friday night, as I say, we decorated biscuits using Skittles and different sweets. But the spiritual meaning behind the biscuits is Matthew 4:4. I'm just going to read it quickly, so I am. Matthew 4:4 says this: "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So we were just showing the kids showing them through Matthew 4:4 how they can decorate their biscuits. So Mrs. Park let us loose on making the icing. Looking back at that, I don't know if that was the greatest idea, but thankfully she came to the rescue and helped make sure that the icing was edible. So on the Friday night, the kids, all they wanted for the games was the beach ball, and it was amazing just again to see the amazing simple thing of a beach ball being blown up and what it meant to them. So it did. And just as I finished, on the Sunday we had a parents' evening. On the Sunday evening, all the parents came to the church, and the kids were able, through the Sunday evening, to show what they had learnt through the week, and show some of the crafts they had made. And there were some prizes given out on that Sunday night for some of the best crafts, and the kids all got something. And just on a personal note, to finish my report, it was a privilege as a young person to join this trip. And I would like to thank Mrs. Park and Mr. Park for giving me the opportunity to be part of this trip. I just ask that you pray for Pastor Sabine and his church in Alesht, that we would see a move in the people's hearts. Thank you very much.
Thank those two young people, Kerry and Samuel, for bringing their report tonight. Always remember, too, that when you have a meeting there, that the meetings are a little bit longer than here at home. So if you get a little bit weary, if a meeting goes over the hour a little bit, maybe an hour and 15 minutes, remember these meetings quite often in the heat, even though there's air conditioning in the church. There are people who don't like air conditioning, especially among the older, and they have to try and get a balance. Do we have it on at all? So it can still be quite hot, and the meetings are about 2.5 hours long. We worked a lot with Roma children, and what is it to work with these kids? You'll know that I have a personal burden, especially in light of the great preacher, Gypsy Smith, who was a Roma child brought up in London and became one of the greatest preachers that this world has ever known, and travelled at least 50 times across the Atlantic, and it wasn't getting some great aircraft that could take you there in a matter of hours. It was going weeks at a time. It took the journey, and everywhere he preached, they say souls were saved. In fact, the record is that there was never a time that he preached but someone came to know the Lord. And he would preach to the thousands. And it is always our prayer that we will see some of these little children growing up to be preachers, missionaries to their own people. Gypsy Smith never, ever forgot where he came from and never forgot the people that he belonged to. And although he preached to all kinds, yet he always returned to minister to the Roma people. What's it like to work with Roma children? Well, it is delightful. And you will see many of the pictures that our young people have taken that just show the delight in their faces working with these kids. It's also fun. This was a time in Muldamanoa when our young people spent a little bit of time of interaction with the children while some of us went and got the food to bring back. It's a blessing. And just to sit down and, I was going to say, talk. You can't really talk, but there is a language that we all know, and that is a language of love, a language of the body, that you can smile at a child, you can encourage a child, and it's always rewarding. And you will see from these photographs that the smiles just say everything, how rewarding it has been to be with these children and to interact with them and to share the gospel, and to bring these provisions that they might be sustained for a little bit of time. So these are the food packages that were delivered. These are not Roma children. These are just happy children that came with us. Well, at least most of them look happy. I want to thank the children, the young people, really they are young adults, for coming with us and for being part of the team. One other little thought, and that maybe is dealing with challenges, and there are challenges when you go to a foreign country, when you go to a place like Romania. There is the challenge of delays. And we already had a 6-hour wait in Germany, and whenever we come back, we told you about the extra 2 hours, maybe a little bit more, that was put onto that time there in the airport of Munich. And this is just a little section of that crowd. Dozens and dozens of them queuing up to meet with the representatives of the airline company because their flights had been cancelled. And thankfully, ours was just delayed and not cancelled because there were no hotels available to stay in. at least that the airport officials could offer. So what do you do when you have delays? Well, these young people amused themselves. The footballers played football, and those that were less inclined to football, they played this, trying out something that they were bringing for the children in Romania to play with. Another challenge is working in a team. So you bring people together from different families, different backgrounds, different personalities, different characters, different strengths and weaknesses. But it's good to be able to work together. And before we leave, we always spend a little bit of time together getting to know each other. And I was going to say lay down some ground rules. Maybe words of exhortation is better. That we're here to work for the Lord. We're here to work together. And we're glad that the team worked so well together as a team and all did their part with all the gifts and talents that the God of heaven has given to them. Another challenge is the heat. And this is the occasion that has been spoken on tonight when they played football with the Deborah House girls. And when you're playing in the heat and some of the temperatures were 40 degrees, it can be challenging. And this smile came after the panting, by the way, whenever Wesley came over and wanted to know if there was a defibrillator that was nearby or oxygen or whatever was needed. And then he did muster up enough strength to smile for the camera. Another challenge is that of poverty. So when you go there, you see the very sad conditions that these people live in. It is poverty, it's these derelict buildings, especially here in Moldovanoa. But they get through, and it's been reported on tonight, despite their poverty and their needs every day, possibly days when they don't have food, yet the children by and large are very happy children in their own environment. So what do? You help them a little bit. You can't help them every day, but you can help them with some food that will keep them going for a week or so. And you do what we did, was mentioned there tonight about bringing this photo book for Krina and her family to have and to cherish those memories of the little boy that was so tragically taken from them during COVID days when he had an injury and septicemia set into his body and the wee boy passed away just 8 years of age. And we did have a few photographs of him. And when she opened the book, she just cried when she saw her wee boy. But thankful that she has these memories. And you interact with these children in their poverty. And you just let them know, we love you. We are here to be kind to you. But we're here to share the gospel with you and tell you about a mighty Savior. You have the challenge of language. Now, if you go to Bethany, the church, many of the young people and some of the older people have a good command of the English language, but by and large, most don't. And therefore, everything has to be done by translation. And this was Deborah speaking to the girls on that first day when we had vocational Bible school with the Deborah House girls. And as we mentioned, you just show them that you love them. This is the language that you can pass on to them, that you care for them, and that you're near to our heart. Of course, there's always the challenge of sad abuse. Many of these girls, all of these girls, have been abused severely. It's one of its kind, this home. There's very, very few homes, if any other home like this in Romania, where they're brought in and they're cared for by Christian parents who have a concern for them. My heart was greatly touched speaking to one of the young Deborah House girls. She's 15, and we have the opportunity just to have a little talk with her. She did have a command of the English language, so it wasn't too difficult to communicate. But it was shocking, really, to hear that whenever she was born into the Roma family, that she was immediately rejected by her father. Her father didn't want a girl. He wanted a boy. And therefore, from day one, this was not this girl, but the girl we spoke to was rejected. When she was 7, she was put into another home. There were people landed up at her family's house, and she was told by her parents, these will be your new parents, and she was taken away to another city where she survived for a few years. But in that home, she was being beaten severely and many, many bruises, and it was at that stage where she had herself to contact social services, and she was brought into care and went from place to place until finally she found a home in Deborah House, and she just loves it there. And we had a great chance to speak to her, encourage her to follow the Lord. As you heard, they interacted with the Deborah girls, so these girls who have their issues, who have their problems, come from these difficult backgrounds, but our young people were there to do things with them and just let them know that we have a compassion in our heart, and as has been mentioned, to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another challenge is food. I'm sure Phil's ears pricked up when he heard there was a KFC and you heard about McDonald's, but that's not always the case. And whenever you have the children at VBS and the food is brought in, it is just what it is. And it's okay when it's pizza, by and large, even though you might get boiled egg on it or chips on it and olives and other things that you mightn't be used to in this country. And this was a sausage, it was really a hot dog, and that kind of, you know, the German sausage that you can get. Some people love them, some people don't. Some of our young people tried, some people partook, others didn't. And, you know, I was surprised that in our group we had a few challenges among our young people because of food, but they survived and we got them fed every day with something that was able to see them through. Another challenge is when you don't have an air pump, and this was the one I blew up from scratch, but you persevere and you get to this stage. I wanted to do it. I was in my 50s at that stage, so it was all right. I'm going to have to try it again to see if there's any difference now. But we got there, and then, of course, there's the enjoyment at the end of it when so much fun was had by these children because of the large beach ball. I conclude tonight by letting you listen to a chorus that we hopefully will be able to hear, just one of the many that we sang. This was a new place, so we're going to a group of children that do not speak English, and yet we are teaching them English choruses, and I think by the time we were finished, they did fairly well. This was on the first day, I believe. It's the Liverpool boat coming in. We could try it once again. I seem to be connected here. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. That's fine. The chorus that they're doing, deep and wide, and for you, for me. And then I think it did go into what we sing here, tall and short, and the children did well. So we thank the team that went, for all who took part and participated, and for working together for the glory of God. I want to sing, "So Send I You to Labour Unrewarded." This was a hymn written by Margaret Clarkson, and the hymn, this first part of it, was written in 1954. It has sometimes been called the finest hymn of the 20th century, and Margaret Clarkson was 22 years of age when she wrote it. She grew up in Toronto. Jobs were so scarce that she had to spend 7 years in the far north of Ontario, first in a lumber camp, then in the gold mining area, before returning to teach for 31 years in Toronto, retiring in 1973. In the north, she says, "I experienced deep loneliness of every kind, mental, cultural, and particularly spiritual. I found no Bible teaching, church fellowship, and only one or two isolated Christians in those years. Studying the Word, one night and thinking of the loneliness of my situation, I came to John chapter 20, and the word, "So send I you." Because of a physical disability, I could never go to the mission field, and this is where he had sent me. I had written verse all my life, so in 1954 it was natural for me to express my thoughts in a poem. So we're going to sing a few of the verses just now. I think it's four verses, just for the benefit of our organist and pianist. And then I'm going to tell you a little bit more about other verses that were added, and we'll sing them also. So let's sing these together. We'll keep our seats to sing these verses, and then we'll stand for the others. Thank you. Clarkson, she says some years later in 1963, after more life experience and contact with real missionaries, I realized that the poem was really very one-sided. It told only of the sorrows and the privations of the missionary call and none of its triumphs. So I wrote another song in the same rhyme so that verses could be used interchangeably, setting forth the glory and the Hope of the Missionary Calling. This was published in 1963. And we're going to stand and sing these verses, please. Sing that final verse twice. Can we read a few verses from John 20? When I thought of this hymn that we were singing tonight, earlier this week, as I was preparing for tonight, my mind and heart came to what the Lord said to his disciples here in John chapter 20 and verse 8. And we're going to read just these few verses from 19 to 24. These are the days of the resurrection. In fact, this is the first day. And the Lord appeared on five occasions, at least five times that are recorded in the scriptures. You will know that early in the morning, he first made himself known to Mary Magdalene. A short time later, he revealed himself to the other women. And then to the two on the road to Emmaus. And then to Peter, Simon Peter, when he was alone. This is the fifth one. This is the evening time of that first day of the resurrection. And he's now appearing to the disciples collectively. One of them is absent, as we shall read. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Trust the Lord will bless these verses, add his blessing to it, and imprint upon our mind and heart what's being taught here. I'm not going to preach, but there are just some points that I want to leave with you. And this is truly amazing as we think of the first point. We have the coming of Christ, and we read the little phrase, then came Jesus. He came in a time of great need, a time when these disciples were fearful, when they had shut themselves away, as we read tonight. They have locked the door for fear of the Jews. Not fully convinced of the resurrection, not knowing that Jesus Christ was alive, having only heard rumors, these disciples are fearful. They shut themselves away. But it's good that they're still together, isn't it? Despite all that's happened. And the Lord had told them that he wanted them to love one another. And here they are together, most of them. And they're in fellowship the one with the other, albeit the door is closed. And the word that is used here means it's locked. But locked doors, thank God, are no barrier to the blessed Son of God. How he came to stand in the midst, we are not exactly sure, but we do believe it was miraculous. And Jesus came. And I just want to remind you that in the midst of whatever darkness we pass through, whatever perplexity we are called upon the providence of God to face, when our hearts are fearful, when our future is uncertain, this same Jesus still comes to his people, even though the doors might be locked. And you know, locked doors, in a sense, kept Jesus out. But because he was God, it didn't keep him out. Jesus came. And then, not only we have the coming of Christ, but we have the centrality of Christ. And we wouldn't want to overlook the little phrase that he stood in the midst. Because that's where Christ ought to be. And when we come together like this, as you know, Jesus says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And that's where he was in this time of fear with the disciples. He was right in the center. Brethren and sisters, may our meetings, prayer meetings, Bible studies, worship services, gospel meetings, always have this one great feature, that Jesus Christ, our blessed risen Redeemer, is in the midst of every single gathering. And may we be conscious of that. May we know it. You've come to the meeting tonight and you haven't had that conscious awareness about you that the Lord is here. You pray, Lord, make yourself known. Let me sense in my heart that you are with your people tonight, that you're right in the center, especially when we come for the little season of prayer. Then we see, thirdly, the contemplation of Christ. Because they did look at him, they beheld him. And this is what the scripture tells us. He showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. If we see the Lord, we're going to be glad. And if we see him as he is revealed here in the great redemptive work, because he showed them the marks of the cross, that it was he himself that was standing before them. It wasn't some kind of spirit that they were seeing. It was Christ physically present with them, still with the indelible wounds of the cross. Here's my hands. Here's my side. Here's what I have done for you. And when the Lord comes to stand in the midst of our gatherings, and we see him, and we see him in his cross work, in his blood shedding, in the great atonement that he made, we will have this experience also. As we contemplate Christ, our hearts will be glad. And then there is, fourthly, the communication of Christ as he speaks to these people. And as I thought about this, there were three things that he had to say particularly to them. The first one was one of comfort. And he said, peace. Do you remember when he sat with them at the table? That was the last time that he had gathered them around his feet. When he said to them, let not your heart be troubled. And went on to say, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give unto you. No, the Lord came to give real peace. And now he's standing saying the same word. I'm sure these disciples, when they saw the Lord, were wondering, what's he going to say to us now? Is it going to be a word of condemnation? A word of rebuke? Because the last time he was with them, they forsook him. They fled. They went away. And then Jesus was crucified. And now he's standing in the midst. What does he say? It's a word of comfort. It's a word of peace. And you can say forgiveness and reconciliation. Because that's how the Lord deals with his own dearly beloved people. There's a word of comfort for you tonight, dear child of God. Not only a word of comfort, but a word of commission. And it's in the word, so send I you. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. It's the same kind of sending with a mission to go into the world, to preach the gospel, to present Christ. As Christ was sent on this mission, so we are sent on the same mission to spread the light of the gospel. And to rescue souls from darkness and from sin and eternal death itself. May we hear the words of the Savior tonight. I'm sending you. And may we be sent forth tonight afresh to do his will in the remainder of this week, on the Sabbath day, and even as we think of our mission coming up very soon, a special time when we need to be sent to reach the souls of men. A word of comfort, a word of commission, a word of command. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. The work could not be done that they were called to do as they were sent forth without the power and the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. And brethren and sisters, it's the same today. We need the power of God for the work that he's called us to. And then one final little thought, and that is the carelessness about Christ. And I read on to the 24th verse. But when these other disciples were receiving the blessing of Christ coming and standing in the midst and having a word of peace and a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation, commissioning them, sending them forth, here's a man, and he wasn't there. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came, and he missed out. He's not rebuked here, but he certainly missed out. And it's mentioned here, he wasn't there. And we've said this often, don't be absent when the disciples come together today, especially on these nights of a Thursday night. And I say that to young and old, don't be absent from the prayer meeting and the Bible study when Jesus comes. When he comes to make himself known, to stand in the midst and to bless his people. Because absenteeism misses out on the blessing. And Thomas missed out on the blessing and had to wait another 8 days before he was brought in to the same assurance. May the Lord be pleased to speak to us tonight through his word. And may you keep verse 21 in mind as we come shortly to pray. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Our sister Pauline Clinton didn't get the procedure. She's still waiting patiently. And as we look to the Lord in prayer tonight, we remember those that we've been asked to pray for here on the list. and we come to our season of prayer when we seek God together and we say goodnight to those that have joined us on the internet. And we appreciate your presence, your encouragement, just being part of this service. And I was able to see, at least on one of the medias tonight, that quite a few have been listening in and being part of this reporting night. I trust that you've been blessed just where you are, as we have been blessed here. Thank you, and God bless you.